It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And welcome into it. It is 96.5 The Fan, starting off yet another week on a wonderful Monday. Well, wonderful is an overstatement. A good Monday. It's that chills in the air.
Oh my,
again.
It was cold this morning, wasn't it? What the hell happened to Saturday's weather?
Golly. What
a
beautiful
day. Gotta get that back. Saturday was about as perfect a day as you could get, huh?
Brioche.
Up early, going out for a walk, watching the sun come up, 80 degrees.
Hitting Home Depot before anybody gets there.
I'll tell you what, man, that is the best when you get to the hardware store on a Saturday morning before 8 o'clock and nobody's there and you get it all to yourself and get all that mulch piled on your car and head on home.
Yeah. And then you're done by noon, take a nap.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, you're done. You get it all knocked out. You got your lawn mowed on Friday afternoon. Mac was so excited.
Absolutely.
Did your real dad get jealous knowing that kind of lurking in the background as we got to meet him on Friday night? Yeah.
He's like, wait, but Bob told you that? I would have told you that. Yeah, sorry, man. Right. Ask Bob first.
Got to ask me first. We work the same hours now.
Exactly. No,
nobody else has the intel of what to do when you work these hours,
yeah,
right?
I text Dad now. He ain't answering.
Now.
You're like Andy from Toy Story. Dad was Woody. Now you got Buzz.
Now I got Buzz, yep.
So long, partner.
To infinity, baby. Let's go.
You are a child's plaything. You are one sad, strange little man. That's good. Yeah. You're at the bottom of your shoe says Bob now.
Exactly.
It says Bob.
Yes.
The hell? I've only been gone for a year. A lot changes. Wait till next year, Pops.
He told me to mow the lawn on Friday so I wouldn't have to do it on Saturday or Sunday. It's the best advice I received.
And I did it.
And you did it,
and
too.
I did do
Look
it.
At that.
Yes.
You actually took advice.
Yep, listen.
And you know, acted on the advice.
Yeah.
Yes, very
that's,
good.
That's my boss, Bob, king of the slams. Dad, I got good news, I got bad news. One is, get effed. Two, Bob's a good guy. That's awesome. Now, did you guys have a good weekend, though? Like,
it was. I mean, awesome. Friday was fun with the meet and greet at the casino, meeting the Royals players. Good crowd turned out for that. So that was a lot of fun, listening to Massey and Bono kind of talk about everything with the baseball team. That was a lot of fun. And then Saturday, we did a surprise birthday party for my friend Jeremy, who turned 50.
Was he surprised?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really good.
What's
he had no idea.
If it's you.
If it's me, I don't know.
Like, you'll turn 50 in like two and a half years.
2 years, yeah. 2 years from
will
April
you
now,
like
yeah.
that, or you kind of just be like,
I don't know. I'm not a big celebrator of myself, you know? I'd rather talk about other people and do all that kind of stuff, but,
It goes to 119th and all.
It's one of those things. 119th and all is happening, but if you want to do my party there, that's fine. I have no problem with that, but anyway, it was fun, so we did that on Saturday, and then, of course, I sent you guys the screenshots how to leave the party because the kids escaped, and we're chasing them around Life 360 trying to locate these kids at 9 o'clock at night on a scooter.
Oh, God.
What did I tell you guys? Wear protection, right? Yeah, wear protection because your Saturday night now turns into tracking down your child on their scooter in the dark, trying to figure out a way to get home. And so that was Saturday night.
Gotcha. Yeah, like watching, which is weird how I'm going to compare these two. But like, one, you can't get away with a lie anymore like you used to. Where are you going to? Just going to Cole's house. I'll be back in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right.
Nowadays, like, well, it says here on your your information that you're at 115th Bryan Street. Oh, yeah. Well, get your ass home.
I mean, because there's no more, like, if you turn that phone off, too, as a child, and you have that Life 360 on, you're in real trouble then.
That's like taking off your, like, house arrest bracelet.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah, but you got to know where they are at all times, right?
You can't tell.
Yeah, okay, right. Gotcha. If you turn your phone off, then we don't know where your notifications are, right? And so if you keep your phone on, which you should do at all times when you're a child, because A, we're paying the bill, and B, we need to know where you are, if you turn that phone off, you're in a lot of trouble, right? You're in a lot of trouble. So they keep the phone on so you know where they are at all times.
Technology has changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's why, like, we all guilty of it. We watch, like, the serial killer documentaries. Like, no way, like, you see a lot of that happening today because there's just too much going on. Like, there's too many cameras. Like,
yeah.
That dude that did the United Healthcare thing, that guy was found, like, 2 days later.
Well,
back in the day, I'd be like, what happened? Like, oh, yeah, there's a camera above the entrance. Like, now you just can't get away with it anymore. It's like, kids can't get away with lying. Like, it's just so, like, we talk about athletes too, like Jordan. Thank God he didn't grow up in like
Jeter. Even what went on with Derek Jeter? He was like right at the end when phones started to become a thing. But no, you can't lie anymore. You can't hide. You can't sneak around anymore, and whatnot, because we know where you are at all times. I think what really did that in for me to realize kind of where we are now as a society was that Netflix documentary, Don't F With Cats. Once I saw that, I realized the entire world is watching your every single move, no matter what it is, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, that entire world is watching. And there will be internet sleuths that get on there and try to figure out everything that is potentially going on. So don't try to mess with things because you will be found out. So that's the message to the kiddos today. You got your phone on. We know exactly where you are at all times, which is fine. We should.
So
your kid
just took a scooter to her friend's house.
Yeah, well, she was at a party and then she was supposed to come home. Then she was going to go to somebody house and then somebody else's house. And all of that, of course, did not happen as it always falls through. And so now it's like almost 9 o'clock at night and she's scooting around the neighborhood with a headlight on trying to figure out her way home. And I could tell she's going the wrong way because she's going south. She's supposed to be going north. So we figured out a way to get to her and got her, put her in the car, took her home.
Was it awkward?
No.
Okay.
I think she wanted to be found, quite honestly.
Good.
She was getting scared.
I think it was to that point of the night where it's like, okay,
I'm ready to be home.
Yeah, I'm ready to be home. I hope mom and dad find me. And we did,
Yes, of course.
We'll always find you. There's no sneaking around. We know everything.
I just missed that.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You just missed that is what you said.
Yeah, I just missed that whole thing pretty much. Yep.
Yeah. It's also good for when my wife is driving and she's going 72 and a 70 and I can screenshot it and send it to her and tell her to slow down.
Oh, boy.
72. Whoa there, speed racer. Yeah.
Hey. Left foot.
Yeah.
Slow down.
That's great.
But hey, I mean, good weekend though.
Yeah.
College basketball was chalk.
Yep.
Everybody's pissed.
Are they? Why? You got the four best teams in the country playing for the national championship. Yeah. That's great.
It was great games too, for the most part.
Well,
Duke
blew them out. Didn't Duke win by 20?
That's true. Yeah, I guess
Tennessee game was over at halftime. Yeah,
Tennessee couldn't score. I mean, 15 points at halftime. I mean, my God, what a display!
Yeah, it's despicable.
That was awful. I mean, just that was a bad display for college basketball.
Lanier shoots again and misses. Lanier puts up another one and misses. And the announcer, if I'm Barnes, I'm getting him out and let him sit down and think.
Let him think about this for a minute.
I mean, they were 3 of 24 at one point to start the game, or 3 of 24. Yeah. I mean, it was insanely gross.
16 from three.
Yeah, it's as bad as you could potentially get.
I thought there was a good tweet. At least you knew it. You knew you weren't winning that game by halftime.
Yeah, that is true. But then they get close,
they
right?
At the made end, it, they, yeah.
Like, I think they were within 10, and I texted you. I'm like, oh my God, they're within 10.
Yeah.
If they end up winning this game, it will go down as one of the worst losses of all time if you lose that game, right? After being up, what, 25 points or whatever it was. It was almost a little bit like the KU-North Carolina game where Billy Packer declared it over in the Final Four. KU was up by like 30, and then North Carolina came back and made it close. You can make these things close. So nothing is officially over. You cut it to 10 with about 5 minutes to go, and you're thinking, well, we got ourselves a game, and then, well, it didn't turn out to be that way, but...
Yeah, I just didn't have enough offense, yeah.
You got to the Elite Eight, though.
No, it's exciting, just not the Final Four.
Yeah.
Still yet to do that as a program, but it's okay.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Squad goals, man. Squad goals.
Yep, exactly.
You're going to have to get a one seed, though, if you want to make the Final Four.
Yeah.
I think that's what college basketball wants. That's what they're going for. They just want all one seeds.
Which is fine. I mean, you got the four best teams in college basketball, right? Like, what are we missing by not having all four number one seeds there, right?
Maybe the anomaly of the effect. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, here we go. Only the second time in the history of the tournament it's ever happened.
Ever. And it's both in San Antonio, both on the April 5th and April 7th, which is really weird, right?
That's weird.
Well, yeah, because they play Saturday, get the Sunday off, and then Monday they
come but
back.
Sometimes it falls on March 31st. You know, the dates are always different, you know. So the fact that it's in San Antonio on the same dates as the last time four number ones played there, that should be good. I mean, that's what you want. If you're a casual basketball fan, which I think just about everybody is, you say you got the four best teams playing. I mean, I think every sport would love to have its four top teams playing in its semifinals and finals. So I think it's cool. Imagine having, you know, all the ones and twos available in the AFC and NFC championship game every year. I mean, that's kind of what you want. You want to see the best teams, the teams that, you know, did it all season long. So we got the four best teams in college basketball, right?
Well, the last few years, the number one and number two team in the AFC championship played? Or were the Chiefs weren't. They were the three or the four seed, weren't they?
But the Chiefs were what? Yeah, three or four last year.
Last year. But this before year, that, it would be like 3 out of 4 years for AFC, I think.
Right.
The one and two played in
the
AFC?
One and two. Yeah.
Okay.
That happens more often for sure. I'm glad. I mean, as a Tennessee fan, I was sad to see it happen, but also thinking about the tournament, Houston has the best chance to actually have a chance against Duke. Like, they have 6'8 to 6'10 wings who can move side to side and guard multiple positions, and they're athletic and they're strong. That's the
Duke's
prototype.
Gonna win the national championship.
No, I get it. I think if they beat Houston, they are for sure winning the national championship.
Is that the national championship?
Oh,
it's not the national championship?
Yeah. To me, I don't think they're...
Well, the real national championship is Bills versus Chiefs.
Yeah. But it's true. Sometimes you do get those matchups, right? Like, everybody wants to see that one. And I think what was interesting yesterday, listening to some of the announcers, and I agree with, because I've had the opportunity to be there on the Saturday and the Monday for the championship game, the Saturday night games are always the best. It's the best environment. Everybody's there. You got four schools. You can get into the Monday night game. That's 10 cents to get into to a Monday night national championship game. Because half the schools are leaving. It's an arena or a dome that seats 60,000. You can sit in the upper deck for, you know, pennies on the dollar if you wanted to go to a game like that. But that Saturday night's going to be a lot of fun. You get the four best teams. Everybody's there. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody leaves Sunday. National championship game takes place Monday night at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, seriously. Yep.
And the ball is tipped.
Right. Everyone's asleep. Yeah, it's damn late. I mean, we moved it up a half hour. Great.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much. Starting that national championship game so late. So anyway, it's good. I'm glad. I mean, and really, you know, the NCAA tournament, I saw yesterday, what was it on CBS? This 11 upsets only in the NCAA tournament this year, the smallest number ever in the history of the tournament. I think we're kind of headed in that direction. We'll see how the NIL and everything kind of impacts the NCAA tournament moving forward. But I kind of think this is more than a trend. This is kind of, I think, going to be the new way of looking at things in the NCAA tournament because of the NIL. The big schools are going to load up. They're going to have the best players. They're going to have the most money, and gone are the days of slippery rock sneaking in and making a little bit of 11 upsets. That's nothing, man. That's nothing. Not a lot at all.
And one of those upsets was like probably a couple of nine seeds winning.
Exactly. Yeah, you get a couple of nines. I think a couple of 12s found their way in or something like that. But like
Creighton Louisville was the first upset of the tournament. It was the first game of the tournament, it's one of the 11.
It's one of the 11. So the
you got it day one?
I guess the fact of the matter is when you're picking your brackets going forward, just pick all the favorites. Your chances are going to be pretty good, right?
Or listen to Jay Billis. What'd he say?
He
the winner
right.
of the SEC tournament would probably be the national champion. Who won the SEC tournament?
Florida.
Who's still in the national championship contention?
Florida.
Okay. Yeah. Who's the one seed?
Florida.
And what did Jay Billis say was going to happen in this tournament?
All 4-1 seeds.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I dogged him. He was right.
I'm going to dog Classe on the other side. I'll tell you why I think it's dirty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5. The Fan.
I feel like this ought to be every single Royals walk-up song the next time Cleveland comes to town. Gangster's Paradise, man.
Oh, I thought it was Amish Paradise. My bad.
Could be. Weird Al Yankovic. It was kind of a weird Al situation on Sunday as we all watched the Royals this weekend. Hopefully, first season's over. We'll get into some more longevity.
Did you say
talks.
The first season's over?
First weekend series is over.
It's Freudian slip. Season's over. Yeah.
Season's
over.
First series is over.
I'm no, in the text line.
No, they're just fine.
But, how was the text line this morning from Bird last night? Pretty good?
Yeah, I didn't really see a whole lot of hate.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, good.
The Royals did nothing to improve over last season. The Singer India trade was basically robbing Peter to play.
What?
Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And they're expecting everyone else either to repeat or improve over 2024, and that's not realistic.
Well, that is a legit concern, I think. I mean, I think that's what we said that going into the winter. Is like, you got to make changes. You can't just try to run it back and expect everybody to have career years, right? Mm. I mean, that's hard to do one time, let alone repeat that and make sure everybody has a career year again. It just doesn't happen that way.
That person texted that text in at least three or four times.
Oh, wow.
I've noticed.
Okay.
Not worried about the Royals at all. Still need a bat coming from the outfield. Any option on the Yankee or any opinion on the new Yankees bat? Oh, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
And then a bunch of questions for Vern that I'm sure he addressed for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says Weird Al's going to be at Starlight at the end of June.
No kidding.
Yeah. So in case you were under a rock, you missed it, but Jonathan India was hit with a fastball to the face, left side of the face. We can discuss it. This was Vinny Pasquantino in the game afterwards. I love everything that I hear.
My view of it was watch him get hit in the face. And I'm still kind of collecting my thoughts on it. But he threw a pitch that he doesn't ever throw, the pitch before, which was a four-seam fastball. It was his first one of the year. And then the next pitch, trying to come back up and in with the next pitch, and you got to get it. You're trying to let a pitch ride, and it didn't, and it hit him right in the face after almost hitting him in the face the pitch before. So obviously I'm upset by it. I'm more upset for John because, I mean, we don't know what's going on with him right now. So it sucks, and I don't think there's any – do I think there was intent behind it? Absolutely not. He's trying to go close a ball game, finish a ball game. It did happen, and that sucks a lot. And it felt like there was a lot of, scouting reports, different ways of pitching. You got to own the inside part of the plate. It felt like we were moving quite a lot this weekend. Again, I don't think I know there wasn't any intent behind it, but felt like there was no adjustment made there, and that's frustrating. But again, they beat us. Hats off to them. It's a sucky situation.
So that's Vinny Pasquantino talking to the media after the game. And obviously the number one question addressed was Jonathan India getting hit in the face. Vinny Pasquantino, not a fan of it. I think this is a situation where I think when we talk about it today via text line, via whoever's listening and having the conversation in their car with themselves as well and enjoying the show here at 96.5 The Fan, I don't know if it is 50-50 when it comes to the thought process of what had happened. I can take away what he said little by little because I've watched that now, I think, four or five times. And I think we're all kind of like Vinny Pasquantino at the moment where you're trying to collect what had happened because obviously it's a scary situation, whether it's accidental or whether it is, somewhat merited by the pitcher. I hear Vinny Pasquantino say, I'm still addressing the fact that the ball hit him in the effing face. Very rarely do you get an F-bomb in media. And normally it's either like, Travis Kelce says that guy shouldn't be able to even work at effing Foot Locker.
Right.
And it's kind of like a humorous but like pissed off way to say
mm-hmm.
it. Or somebody has a problem with another team. I do think it's interesting that he mentions he threw a pitch that he doesn't ever throw and that he hadn't thrown all series. So we can break that part down first. It's no secret on opening day the Royals got to Class A early and often.
Yeah, off where he was in the postseason too.
And, maybe he was realizing that the cutter wasn't getting anybody out, but he already had two outs in the inning, right? Biggio flew out mm-hmm. and whoever else before Biggio got out as well. And then India's up and up and in, whoa, everybody's kind of like, that's scary. No matter who you are, no matter what the team is, even if the Royals were to throw a pitch like that, if like Zerpa were to throw that, it'd go up and in and be like, okay, whoa, all right, let's maybe like, you know, let's settle down. Comes back and actually does clip him in the face. Then you hear Vinny talk about how, you know, they were moving up around the inside of the plate, and the pitchers are always, that's the way your father taught you about baseball, right? Like, the great ones did it. They owned the inside of the plate. Roger Clemens was notoriously known for that. Like, he was going to buzz you inside if you were over his plate, because that's his advantage, mm-hmm. is trying to get that inside outside corner. And the pitcher and the batter have that sort of chess battle of like, well, I'm not giving you this, but there is somewhere you can get me, but I'm not going to give you what the obvious is. He hit him in the face. And if you are trying to back someone off the inside of the plate, buzz it behind them. Put it in their left pocket. You know, let them know you're there. But back-to-back to me kind of sticks out as like, I don't think, and I'm with Vinny as he also says, I don't think he meant to hit him in the face. I don't think any pitcher's ever tried to actually hit someone in the face, because one, I don't think they can actually do it if they tried. But again,
see, that's the thing. Like, you know how hard that is right to do.
But the fact that the first one was right on his chin hair and the second one hit him in the ear hole, I think it's okay, let's cool down. I think it's dirty. Because, again, you threw the one pitch you never throw that you hadn't thrown twice. And it seems that maybe, because I think players see what other players see as well, I think they were upset that the Royals were hugging the inside of the plate. Now, I do think that the umpire should have issued some sort of warning or maybe thrown someone. I think if you hit a batter in the head, it's an automatic ejection. I think that should be a rule in baseball. Whether it's accidental, whether it's on purpose, you eject that player 100%. Whether that was a pitcher for the Royals that hit someone in the head, I'm sorry, but you're ejected. It's like targeting one in college football. But if you hit him in the back pocket, nothing happens. Like, they didn't know at the time if he was concussed. Obviously, Andy Rogers came out and explained what the situation was. But it's frustrating because that could have been a lot worse than it actually was. Andy was able to get up on his own and walk off. You saw Q kind of like almost sprint out and get him once he was hit. And then he kind of gives that look back. But I also go into the fact that, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Class A has not been good in his last outings. Like, he's not been the untouchable guy in the playoffs. He wasn't that way in opening day. He comes out there in this game. Obviously, he didn't pitch in game two because they lost. But the second time he comes out, maybe there's frustration. And Jonathan India was a guy where he's like, this guy was, you know, kind of, he's kind of on top of the plate. Because he gets the first two guys out, no problem. Cutter, out, out.
Mm-hmm.
98, 99. Up in his face, hits him in the helmet. So again, there's a lot there to dive down outside of just the hit. I think if you've wanted your evil bad guy in the division to kind of step up and show you who they were, Cleveland took no time. Not only did they take 2 out of 3 from the series, not only did they use their best pitcher and hit one of your new acquired players in the head, it happens in a time where you can't retaliate. You cannot have an option to come back and stick up for your guys. So this stews. Now, I do think the Royals are a mature team, and I think they will actually just kind of like move business on as they're in Milwaukee today. Game coverage starts at 12 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan with Vern's On Deck show. But look, dive into all of this. Vinny coming out and saying, talking the way he did, you know, guy gets hit in the effing face, so I'm thinking about, did he do it on purpose? No, I don't think he did it on purpose. I'm with Vinny on that. I don't think he did it on purpose. But like, why? Like, why are you trying to throw that fastball with two outs in the game?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Here's what Denny had to say. I always like to listen to Denny when something like this happens. He's seen every game the Royals have ever played. He's been around baseball for a while. He usually has a pretty good perspective.
And he's normally just, I guess the best word would be nasty for right-handed hitters. Oh, and he hit him in the helmet. Jonathan India hit in the, you could hear the thump. He's holding his mouth, his jaw. Boy, I hope that wasn't his jaw that we heard.
So that's how it originally happened. That was Denny. Oh, my God, he got hit in the face. He got hit in the jaw. I hope he's okay, right? And Denny will go into it a little bit later on. I don't think, first of all, I'm going to say that I don't think. I shouldn't say I know because nobody knows anything, but I don't think he did it on purpose. Let's get that out. I don't think anybody thinks that Class A did that on purpose. Now, what was Class A doing at that point in time? Why would he be trying a new pitch at that point in time? Well, you had two outs, nobody on. You had a 6-2 lead in this ball game. You were getting down to the nitty-gritty. You hadn't had success for the most part, you know, since last October at some point in time before the playoffs started. it was an opportunity to try something new. You didn't try it probably on the first game of the season, and maybe this was a pitch you were working on this spring because you had that rough exit in the postseason. So you come back the next spring. I was watching the beginning of the, I think it was the Royals game yesterday. They were talking about what third pitch this guy's going to develop or what third pitch that guy's going to develop every single year. You have a bad ending to the season. You need to reinvent yourself. So you're probably going to say, all right, I need to find a new pitch. You hear pitchers doing it all the time. Seth Lugo or whoever it is has 18 different pitches or something that he throws. So I'm sure it was something that Clase decided he was going to try to do this offseason. Learn a new pitch, give the hitter something different. He was figured out clearly in the postseason. So he needed to come up with something new. You get into a tight game on opening day, you're probably not going to throw something you're not comfortable with. You got a 6-2 lead with two outs. You're probably going to say, all right, let me try this pitch and see what I can do in this game situation. It got away from him, okay? Obviously, he needs to go back to the drawing board and work on that pitch a little bit more. But throwing up an inside, to me, is always, you know, Tony La Russa used to talk about this all the time. It's deadly. And I sent you guys an article about a player named Tony Conigliaro from years ago with the Boston Red Sox. And I remember as a kid collecting baseball cards, my dad's like, get this Tony Conigliaro card because he got hit one time in the face by a pitch and never was able to really recover and pretty much lost his career because of that. Hopefully, that doesn't happen, obviously, to Jonathan India. I don't know that it will. He had that protective guard there. Hopefully he's okay and whatnot. I just don't see intent with it with Clase. I see a guy who was trying to do something and it didn't work out. And now he better go back to the drawing board and not throw that pitch up and in again, because that is dangerous. Whether you do it on purpose or not, it is dangerous. But I don't think he did do it on purpose. And so he needs to go back and work on that pitch before he throws it in a game again.
I just think that it's just too much of a coincidence that the first time he throws it, it's right there. And the second time he throws it, it's right on target. And the fact that you're working on a new pitch with two outs in the ninth, where the pitch that you have perfected, maybe the best since Mariano Rivera had it perfected, because now you can throw it with absolute gas on it. You had two outs in the ninth.
Yeah, which is why you do work on it in that situation. It's a low stress, not a lot can happen type of situation. You get the opportunity in a game to work on a couple of things. You don't get that opportunity. A lot of times these closers come in, it's a 3-1, 3-2 type of ball game. The games are close. You don't get that opportunity in those live game actions with the, you know, with the bullets flying, as they like to say. You had that opportunity yesterday. He tried it. Clearly failed at that pitch, and hopefully for this guy's sake, he knows I better figure this thing out before I go back out there in a game again and try to throw that pitch.
Yeah, I would believe that if he did that with the first batter, when you're facing guys like Kevin Biggio and not guys like Jonathan India, who had what, two hits on Saturday, and you know is notoriously known for an on base high on base percentage. Like, you should throw your best against somebody who's good. You can work on stuff against somebody who's not as good, right? Like, I don't think that I think that's a lame duck excuse to say I was working on something. No, you were clearly pissed that this guy was getting to your pitching because he was the guy that set the tone. He's all over the plate. Don't go for his face. Go for his left pocket. I'm fine with that. Like, if you're working on a pitch, you would work on that pitch with like MJ Melendez because you could throw him anything and he wouldn't touch it. You could throw that pitch to Hunter Renfro because you don't have to worry about him. Oh, well, what if he did miss that ball down the middle of the plate and India takes it deep to left? Are you still working on a pitch? Oh, no, you're going to work on that pitch with somebody who you can that you have a huge advantage of, like a Kevin Biggio, like somebody lower in the order. You tried this with a leadoff hitter with two outs in a game that was 6-2, where even if this guy does get a hit off of your best pitch, the best thing the second best place baseball player in baseball can do is make it a 2-run game and make it 6-4.
Yeah.
So again, like, I find that a lame duck excuse to say maybe he was working on a pitch. He's been throwing fastballs since he was going to hold a baseball. He knows how to throw a fastball. He just doesn't know how to control it. That's something you do in a bullpen session. That's something you do before a game. And then it's like, okay, do you have the confidence to throw it? All right, let's go straight out of the chute and let's throw that four-seam fastball the first guy that comes up to bat. He didn't do it. He threw it to Jonathan India twice, knew after the first time, ooh, that ain't there. I'm going to throw it again, and you actually hit him. So a little bit of dirty for me, a little bit of accident, but I tend to lean more towards I don't like the situation that he put everybody in this game, because now you've created a massive divide between these two teams and everybody is going to be on the edge of their seat the next time these two teams play, because what are the Royals going to do? Because, again, You can say that he didn't do it on purpose, but you cannot let your guys get hit in the head. I'm not saying go head hunting. I'm saying now what you do is stand your ground, let them know that you're here, and then you're not afraid of these big, bad Cleveland Guardians because you're the team of the future in the Central. You want to be that team. Go show them and don't get kicked around. Again, don't go head hunting, but let them know that you don't think that it was accidentally done 100%.
Yeah, but all you have to do is go out there and beat them on the field, and that sure takes care of everything. And so, you know, you got, what, 10 games left against these guys. Go beat their ass in Cleveland when you go up there in a couple of weeks, and then let them know who's there by going out there and playing and winning. And look, I do think at that point in time, it is the perfect time to try that pitch because you already got two outs in the inning. And we don't know. Like, these guys, man, with the way that things are going now in sports, there's a lot of mental stuff that goes on. We don't know where that guy Clase is mentally from what happened in the postseason last year. I mean, they rolled his stats at the beginning of the inning when he came in. 0.61 ERA in the regular season last year. Goes out there in the playoffs and just gets absolutely kicked in. I don't know where that guy's mental state is right now. Sometimes you need to see it in real life in order to gain back your confidence. And I think yesterday, he's like, all right, I got to gain back this confidence. I haven't had any since October of last year. Opening day was not great. He goes out there, gets the first two guys out. He's probably breathing a lot easier at that point in time as well, too. All right, I've been working on this new pitch. Let me try. Oh, my God, it got away. All right, let me try it one more time. Oh, my God, I hit the guy in the face. I've got to go work on that pitch. I just think in baseball right now, if you are headhunting, you said get him kicked out of the game. I think you get banned for a year if you're headhunting on purpose. Like, if they can prove that you're doing that. Now, how they go about doing that, I don't know. But I just don't think anybody's out there trying to hurt and injure players on another team. At the end of the day, these guys are all in the fraternity together. They're all trying to make money. They're all trying to do their thing. I don't think anybody was headhunting on purpose. I don't think we have those guys necessarily in the league anymore, like maybe we had back in the 70s and 80s. I just don't think that's happening. And if it is happening, then that guy needs to be moved out of the league. And so how we figure that out, how do we determine? We never will. I'm willing to give him a free opportunity right now. But if this continues, now we've got ourselves a pattern, and now it's cause for a brawl to break out.
Yeah, I just think that the whole confidence thing is disregarded because I can use a golf analogy. If you're shooting a really good round, you don't wait until like the 17th hole to be like, all right, now I'm going to pull the driver out. I'm, you know, two under on the round. I got confidence. I'm going to see if I can hit my driver. No, you're going to continue to go with what's working because that's what builds confidence, is getting your normal reps back into it to where you're like, you know what? Yeah, I am a badass with my cutter. I can just throw that and I'm fine. I don't need two pitches. I'm that damn good. I finished third in Cy Young Awards last year as a closer, and I'm going to stick with what's been getting me here. I'm not going to pull out a four iron and see if I can hit a low stinger when I'm shooting one of the better rounds of my life. You just got two outs. Don't pull the driver out. Leave it in the bag. Continue the round that you're going with. He didn't do that. He tried to get confidence after he'd already kind of built his confidence going in there and going 1-2. And then guess what he threw to Bobby every pitch? A cutter. And guess what Bobby Witt Jr. did? He struck out. All right.
Three for 13 to start the season for Bobby Witt. Yikes. Is that part of our overreaction segment?
I don't know. We can get into it here real quick because I'm okay with Bobby Witt Jr. But my overreaction I'll start with is the people reacting to the Final Four that they're upset. It's an overreaction. It's only the second time all four number one teams have been there. I think Saturday will be electric. It kind of starts the next wave.
Reacting in a bad way, you mean?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, it's all chalk. All these teams. College basketball's ruined. A lot of KU fans out there sour about it.
Oh, are there? Yeah. Are there really? Okay.
Because now everybody's got Adidas money.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I mean, that's just the way the sport goes. Adapt and move on and adjust or get left behind. It's not that hard.
You can say the entire tournament was boring because no good games. Now there is no excuses. We ought to have four good games because you're the four best teams with the four highest rankings. I think Saturday should be fun. Like I said, it segues us into the next fun week of spring sports. We get the Final Four on Saturday. You get baseball again on Sunday. And then Monday, it's the start of Masters week. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of keeps rolling along. So overreaction, like, maybe enjoy this because there's only been two times in the history of this tournament where all number one seeds have made it. 08 and now. And even that's a long gap between time.
Long, right? It's almost 20 freaking years.
Right. So like here, 18 years or 17
years.
And now we're here we are again, all four number one seeds. We should be in for a good Saturday night. Just don't overreact to it. Maybe just enjoy it. Nobody has a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
So why not see the top four dogs go fight?
Just enjoy. Sometimes it's okay just to sit back and watch a game and just enjoy it for what it is. I mean, there doesn't have to be this constant, whatever thought process that goes through when you're watching a game. Sometimes it's okay just to sit back and enjoy the game and say, okay,
cool. I'm going to go. People complaining about all four number ones. This is what we've wanted all the time. The four best teams to play for your championship. And we get the opportunity to do that. I'm going to take an overreaction. And I'm going to go and overreact on the starting staff. I saw Annie Rogers put in her column this weekend after the series. Not one Royal starter had a quality start this weekend. And that was a little concerning for me when they made their bones on quality starts last year. And that was able to protect that bullpen, as Annie talked about as well. You know, the bullpen was put into some extra situations probably this weekend. You'd like to have your starting staff pitch better. And that's going back to that text on the text line. We're relying on everybody to have a career year after a career year. And the first opportunity we got to do that, the starters this year, all three of them, none of them made a quality start. That's got to be better. That's got to be the bread and butter for the Royals this year. Those starters have to go out there and perform well and give this team an opportunity to win. Because as we know from an offensive standpoint, they're kind of, as of right now, a little bit offensively challenged. They're still looking for that next bat. But as of right now, those starters have got to go out there and perform better and keep you in the game. And they're not going to duplicate what they did last season, but you got to get at least a quality start out of the deal.
I know where that next bat is. It's in Arkansas.
Yeah, buddy.
Does somebody have the turbo bats down there?
Yeah. I wish. Torpedoes.
Torpedo bats, yes. Yeah,
torpedo bats. You got an overreaction, Mac?
I've got Royals fans overreactions. We'll get to them throughout the show.
Okay. Yep. I like that.
Yep.
That's good. Coming up next, it's the weird internet weekend that was. Did Morgan Wallen make the cut? Who knows? Bob Fesco will explain on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5.
Welcome back on a Monday here at 96.5 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you. Hope everybody had a nice weekend.
Did you dip into the vinyl collection for this one?
Yeah, it sounds like that, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah.
It's a little crackly.
Playing that on the Victrola in your garage, recording on your phone, man. Like,
I do love the vinyl, though.
Vinyl, everybody's been saying, has been making a comeback. Huge. I've been hearing about that since about 2010, 2011, you know?
It's already here.
Yeah.
It's like you can get old with it, too, because it's like, oh, I remember going to Seventh Heaven and finding vinyls for like $7.
Well, we were talking about that this morning before the show about tickets. I don't know how somehow tickets became a topic of conversation. I know Mac lost his tickets to a game or something, and we're like,
my buddy had forgotten tickets to a Royals game, and I had to go scalp them.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're like, nowadays you can't even worry about that because your tickets are on your phone, and who leaves their phone at their home before they go to an event?
Who leaves their phone at home before they go anywhere in the bathroom? Right? I mean, I gotta go to the bathroom. Let me get my phone. Yeah. That's a perfect time to charge your phone.
Good thing they scan those tickets at comedy clubs before you go and they put them in those like locked bags.
Yeah.
Can you get your tickets out? I can't.
Nope.
It's in that pouch. Oh, sure it is. Mm-hmm. No, it really is. You gotta open it up. No, I'm not opening that thing up till the show's done. I guess I'm not getting into the show. I'm just kidding. But no, it was obviously there was probably some weird stuff that happened on the weekend involving maybe not tickets, but I'm sure there's like maybe a lawn story or, okay.
There's a good lawn story because in New York City now, they're tired of the traffic, right? And so what people
just
are
now
doing,
they're tired of traffic
just
in New
got
York?
Eventually, 2025? Like, 2025, they've decided they're done with the traffic in New York City.
Watch out for the yellow ones. They don't stop.
So this guy invented, which I think is really cool, motorized lawn chairs that they're taking through the streets of New York City. They've got like a patch of grass down to symbolize the lawn. They put on lawn chairs and they're motorized lawn chairs and they're riding them through the bike lanes of New York City. That way you don't have to worry about the traffic. You don't have to worry about congestion pricing. You don't have to take the subway. You don't have to take a bus. You've got yourself a motorized lawn chair.
Nice.
And these things are moving through the city streets, man. Better than a motorcycle. Not as good as a car. But hey, you're in a lawn chair with wheels on grass going through the streets. I like that. You're moving at a pretty good clip.
I would have never thought that's where New York would be where this happened. Like Mobile, like South.
Yeah, it sounds like a South.
So it sounds like a Southern thing.
Yeah, lawn chairs.
Yeah.
This is Knoxville, Tennessee at its finest.
But you also got to think about the congestion too, right? I mean, a 100%. Lot of congestion in New York. How can we get around? Motorized lawn chairs, man. One guy's got the one that's kicked back. Another guy's got a normal lawn chair sitting on there. It's really cool. I like that.
Meanwhile, here in Kansas, we have scooters at night with headlights.
That's exactly right.
Maybe she needs a lawn chair.
That's
get,
it.
Get the kids a lawn chair to drive around.
Yeah.
The next one comes from the state of Florida, which is always good, right? Florida always seemingly delivers. Here's the headline. Ooh. Couple caught having sex on grave at historic local cemetery.
Whoa.
Yes. Trooper spotted a white Nissan parked in front of the cemetery with the windows down. No one in the immediate area. They also observed a male and female at the rear of the cemetery engaged in sex on top of unknown grave number 43. A search of their vehicle turned up a purse which belonged to the woman identified as Stephanie Wegman.
Oh, they put her name in the article?
Oh, yeah, you should see her, too. Mm. The purse contained two pill bottles.
Yeah.
One held 13 Alprazolam pills, and the other contained 20 oxycodone pills. Mm. Wegman, who has a prior criminal history, did not have a prescription for the pills. She was arrested on several drug charges and booked without bond. The man, who suffered a leg injury throughout all of this,
I bet,
was transported to a hospital. The report indicated a warrant for his arrest will be had as well. This Wild Cow Prairie Cemetery, there are at least 8 veterans and 19th century county commissioners buried in this grave. So a lot of unknown old people buried in a grave. Perfect place to get it on, right?
Yes.
So I have a couple of questions. We don't know the whole story, right? Maybe he said, I can perform anywhere, anytime.
That's true.
Yeah. And she said, okay, Cow Pasture Cemetery, New York City, or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, all right, last one there's a rotten egg. And he ran and fell and twisted his ankle.
Okay, I'm in on this.
And then, you know, hey, grave number 43. At the bottom in the fine print said, always love to watch.
Yeah.
You don't know what he liked to watch. So maybe they had themselves a time.
They clearly did.
And you know what? What better place to feel more alive than an area full of death?
That's exactly right. Especially a death place that's on the National Register of Historic Places.
You can spin this to a positivity.
Yeah, you can.
Now, the oxycodone makes me think they might not have known they were there.
Exactly.
But hey, let your freak flag fly. You're in the cemetery getting it on. Can't bring you. bring those people that are dead back to life. With noises and sights, but also it sounds like they went to jail.
Yeah, she went to jail.
You probably knew you were going to go to jail. Before you go to jail, get one last sting in, you know?
Hey, look, like if she doesn't look like somebody who would have sex at a cemetery.
Ooh, that neck tat.
That neck tat is really
what does it say?
Fear, Stephanie or something?
I thought it said fear me.
Oh, maybe it does. I don't know.
Fear me?
I don't know.
Oh, yikes.
It's her name, I think. S-H-A-N-I-E, Shaney.
Shaney.
Shane.
Maybe his name.
Could be.
Man, she got a tattoo and laid in the same night by the same guy. And he, hey, you know what they say before you perform? Go break a leg.
He did. Yep, he did. Yep. Her name is Stephanie, and she has Shaney on her neck tattoo. So
respect.
Maybe it's somebody she knows from back in the day.
I mean, would you rather do it in a plane or in a graveyard?
Plane.
Okay.
Plane.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's no question. Yeah. Plane, you get to enter the Mile High Club, right?
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
The cemetery, you're like, nah, this is weird.
Nah.
Not that the plane isn't, but, you know.
At least they were both alive bodies.
That's very true.
There's no necrophilia going on.
Yeah, there's that. That is true. There was a story I saw about a couple weeks ago about that.
In Florida?
Yeah. Gosh.
New Orleans, they float up.
Yeah, it is true. Yep.
Real stuff.
They missed an opportunity with the grave number, that's for sure. Number 43, like, just go over 26 more.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Come on, if we're really doing this.
What if I told you? What was that guy's from, like, Unsolved Mysteries? Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, what was it? Robert Flack was his name or something?
Sure.
Was it?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I just know that I loved that show as a child. That's okay, though, I guess.
That's all creep me out, though, the Unsolved Mysteries. Like, is that person living next door?
It's unsolved.
Does that person have, like, a big leg of lamb that's frozen and they're going to murder me with that?
Robert Stack.
Oh, I was close, yeah, right? Yeah. What did I say? Robert Flack?
Yeah, you said Robert Flack.
His daughter, Roberta, was a singer back in the day.
Oh, there you go.
R.I.P.
She killed you softly with her song.
Mm-hmm. And then the Fugees took it over. Lauryn Hill. Interesting weekend. That's where we went. I'm surprised there was no, like, passenger was dead the whole time on plane. That was that we've had that before.
Yeah, we've had that. Yeah,
well, I mean, airline. At that point in time, though, man, you die on a flight. Sorry, we're going to our final destination. There's 200 other people that need to get somewhere. Now, if you're sitting next to that dead person.
Yeah.
Somebody asked a really good question on the text line. If in a plane is the Mile High Club, what's the Graveyard Club?
The 6 foot under club.
Mm. Hey.
Okay. So apparently
like
the Graveyard.
Inch under.
Yeah. brutal. Yeah, I don't know. Graveyard would not be on my top 100 spots to get it on.
Can you think of 99 other places?
I was gonna say top 100?
Top 100. I mean, that's a lot of places.
Yeah, that's the thing.
How much time you got?
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lot of the zoo. I'm just looking. They got a picture of a bear on TV.
With Michael and Julia.
Yeah, graveyard or zoo?
Bear cage at the zoo or a graveyard?
I mean, animals are pretty much dead in there anyway. They hate it.
Yeah, sad.
They're like, oh, man. But what if you were doing it and then the animals started to do it? Would you feel like
hey, man, you set a trend.
Influential?
Yeah, you're a trendsetter at that point in time.
Yes.
Yeah. What about like in the penguin cage on the ice?
That smells in there. You ever been in there? It's brutal.
Have you been in there?
The penguin? Not the cage, but I've been to see the penguins.
Oh, and they smell.
You like walk in, there's like a hit you right in the face.
I know what smell you're talking about. That's in like every zoo that you open the door and go inside for. It's got like a...
It's like they don't show you the people holding the shirt over their nose when they're in the penguin. They're like, oh, they're so cute. What, they smell like this? Yes. they're wild. Coming on the other side, we get to Max overreaction, which was the Royals fan base. It says, I have screenshots as well.
Oh, no, you don't.
Screenshots and grave shots. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.